Hey there, and welcome back to the Mini Weekend. I'm your host, Jack. Let's crack a beer and get the ball rolling, Mini. We are back. We are back, Mini. I once again apologize for the short-noticed off week last week, but yeah, I got kind of crazy around the 4th of July. Hope everybody had a very fun and enjoyable, but also safe 4th of July weekend. I'm sure some of you had an extended weekend like myself, having Monday and Tuesday off, or a combination of that or something like that. I hope everybody enjoyed it, but yeah, it got kind of crazy and hectic for me, so I apologize. I wasn't planning on doing one last week. Totally forgot and realized with the long weekend that I didn't post about it earlier, so do apologize about that. But yes, we are back, and we're kicking off just here for the beer tonight with an alcoholic option, and something that I got a while back to do, realized we never did it, and we're going back to one of the original breweries that we first shouted out on the podcast, and the first brewery to actually reach out to us and give us some free stuff to try out for you guys on air. So without further ado, we're going with, it's the Surly Shutter Shades DDH Double IPA, and I gotta say, I like it. It's smooth. It's definitely citrusy. It tastes kind of bright, if that makes sense. I like it. Oh, wow. This is up there on the APB, 9% APB in a 12 fluid ounce can. But yeah, before we get too much into the beer, like all of you guys know, like to tell you about the brewery, so I'm sure a lot of you know. I'm sure a lot of you know, but for those that don't, Surly Brewery is located off of, it's called Malcolm Avenue Southeast in Minneapolis. It's kind of right off of that industrial park, University Avenue and 280 area. Really cool place. It's actually pretty close to places like O'Shaughnessy Distilling Company, the market at Malcolm Yards that we've shouted out before. And not too far from that little area that we've done a lot of stuff like Head Flyer and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, definitely on the St. Paul side. But I urge you guys, it's a big brewery. I believe it's one of the bigger, as far as facility goes, it's one of the bigger ones in the Twin Cities. So if you haven't checked them out, go check them out. They always have so much cool things. So many cool things going on. Well, I'll just let you guys know off the bat here, now that we're done with the 4th of July weekend. They're closed Mondays, but they're open Tuesdays through Thursdays, 3 to 10, Fridays, 3 to midnight, Saturdays, 11 to midnight, and then Sundays, 11 to 10. So I urge you guys, like I said, if you haven't tried this place out, you have to. They seriously have a little bit of everything. You can go on to their website, surlybrewing.com. You can get tours of their place. I myself have never done it, but I would definitely do it. They have a huge place where they brew all their beer, and that is something that's definitely of interest to me. You can actually make reservations. Upstairs is their Surly Pizza, where they specifically just do pizza, essentially, for food. You can go in their cocktail area. They got a beer hall, their beer garden, outside. So lots to do. So like I said, they have kind of like two eating areas. They have like a top deck that is, just pizza. But if you're on the main level, they actually have like a menu of stuff, and it's actually pretty good, pretty tasty. They always have you can book private events here. I've gone to an event, a private event here a couple of times. It's really cool for that. But they also have public events. They got in the, gosh, what is this? The Summer of Sound, the current happy hour with Bridget Calls Me Baby. This Thursday, actually tonight, earlier tonight, so never mind. But they got lots of other cool stuff coming out. They got another one of these Call Me Babies on the 16th. They have a volunteering opportunity on the 19th, Bridging Towel Sort. Superior Hiking Trail Reroute Project on July 29th. They have some people that come out and play music. The Summer of Sounds, like almost on a daily or a couple days at a time, doing that kind of stuff. They have a monthly bingo, which the next one, or monthly game night, sorry, which is actually on August 3rd. So, like I said, you guys gotta check this out. They got a ton of different beers options, all that kind of fun stuff. Excuse me, they honestly have a little bit of everything for everybody. So I urge you guys, go check them out. And yeah, like I said, the Shutter Shades at Double H, Double D, H, Double IPA. I really do like it. It has nothing to do with the fact that it's what is it, surly, but you know, as much as I love IPAs, one thing I have kind of learned for myself in doing these for you guys is there's lots of different things that you can do to IPAs, and typically part of the reason you like IPAs is for the hops. And a lot of the times you have too many hops, you have too many flavors, and there's just a lot going on. It's got a little bit of a different taste than just your typical light IPA. It definitely tastes light. Definitely hits you though, 9%, like I said. But yeah, like I said, overall I like it. It's probably one of my more favorite ones, because like I said, it's light. Excuse me. It's light. There's not too much going on. There are some undertones of, oh gosh, what is that? I know I said citrusy, but like tangerine, stuff like that. And I gotta say, probably one of my favorites. My memory serves me right, the Fine IPA from Big Wood Brewery. Yes, it does. Was I claimed it to be one of my top three. I would probably have to put, as of right now, I would probably put Big Wood, I would put this and Hell, or no, yeah, no, Surly Furious in my top three. And I would actually put this one number one. I would put this with number one. I think there was just a little more going on in that Fine IPA. And as much as I love Furious, after you start to drink it, you do kind of start getting those, the more hoppiness, which isn't a bad thing. So I gave Big Wood Brewery Fine IPA a 9.1. So God, we're gonna go ahead and give this a 9.3. So Shutter Shades, Double D H, Double IPA for the win. 9.3, like I said, go check out Surly if you haven't already. I know I got to. I think I've only been out to Surly once, since it's been nice out, so definitely got to get back out there again. So hit me up if you're gonna go, and we'll go from there, guys. So after that, obviously, you know, it's been a couple weeks since we've been on, so we do got some stuff to talk about tonight, some kind of questions and things to go over with regards to our sports. Unfortunately, not too much news as far as Tommy Town is concerned. But do want to give a shout out kind of around the time of the last podcast on the 7th. The men's hockey team had their alumni Trevor Zins sign a contract with the Indy Fuel of the ECHL. The St. Michael, Minnesota native signed a standard player contract with the Indy on the 7th. He was signed by the Fuel for an amateur tryout and played 6 games for the ECHL team at the end of last season. The team finished 3rd place in the Central Division and lost in the first round of their playoffs. And they will begin their 23-24 campaign on October 20th. Zinn spent 2 seasons as a Tommy and tallied 4 goals and 16 assists in 69 games on the blue line for Rico Blasi and the Tommy hockey team. So a huge congratulations to him. I was actually, I was looking it up and because I'm curious, and it looks like the average ECHL contract is about 80 grand, give or take, a year. So, again, you know, not a ton of money. But enough that, you know, these guys think they're good enough. And, I mean, they are good enough because they got signed to a professional contract. But are trying to make it to the show and want to get things going. So, unfortunately, other than that, so, once again, congratulations, Trevor. But, unfortunately, other than that, not a ton of other news as far as the Tommies are concerned. Did want to give a shout out to the football team as we are getting increasingly close here. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but the 4th of July usually always marks halfway through summer for me, and holy shit, guys, it is flown by. We got about 44 days, so like a month and a half to the day. Until college football gets underway, and 51 days specifically until Tommy season kicks off against Black Hills State, South Dakota, at O'Shaughnessy Stadium. So, cannot wait. But once again, guys, I am not wishing summer away. We still got lots of things to do and plenty of outside activities we got to get done. So, that is what we have for Tommy Town. So with that, our local business shout out this week, I wanted to do them after I tried them, but I'm not kidding you guys. Just within this last month, I'm not kidding, I have seen their food truck no less than 5 or 6 times just in the last month. So I have not, once again, I'm prefacing this with, I have not tried them out, but I am super, 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 super stoked to try them out. And it is, excuse me, gosh, quit burping, Jack. It is North Star Donuts. So what is North Star Donuts, you might be asking? North Star Donuts is a mobile and a storefront apple cider and mini donut truck based in Minnesota. You should see them where they pop up next. They're all over the place. They're all over the place. They got, so far this summer, they've been in Watertown, they've been in Osseo, they've been in Waconia, St. Bonifacius, Egan, Sauk Center, St. Louis Park, and if that's not cool enough, they actually have a storefront in Burnsville, which is sweet. But oh my gosh, just looking at some of these pictures and reading some of their daily menus, they got standard cake donuts, long john, they got raisin rings, old fashioned. Oh my gosh, guys, old fashioned donuts are slowly becoming like my favorite donut. So good. They got galactic stuff. They got filled donuts, weekend specials. They got cookies, caramel rolls, seasonal pastries, apple fritters. You can get things in a half dozen. Like I said, they got apple cider. So you guys definitely got to check them out. If you guys have already had some of their concoctions. Let me know what you think and let me know what I should be trying first, because needless to say, guys, I am salivating just by looking at these freaking pictures. So I have to check them out. Let me check on this for you guys. I don't believe they have. Yes. So they're off of Cliff Road East in Burnsville. And it looks like from Wednesdays to Fridays, they're open 6 a.m. to noon. And then on Saturdays and Sundays, they're open 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. Closed Mondays and Tuesdays. And I'm just going to take a look here for you guys. Some of these, yeah, just because of their limited hours, it looks like a lot of their events they do are Thursdays, Wednesdays, Tuesdays, Saturdays, Sundays, Fridays, Tuesdays. So, I mean, you know, they're doing stuff all over the week. So go check them out. Their website is, donutstarmn.com. You can find them on Facebook. You can find them on Facebook and Instagram, where you can see where they're going to be and the events they're doing. I hope to see you guys checking them out. So with that, as far as our sports teams are concerned, you know, just kind of jumping right into it, the Wild really haven't been doing a ton. I was looking into it and I kind of forgot because it has been a while, but the schedule release, and I know we kind of talked about that for, as far as the Wild is concerned, those dropped a day or two before the last podcast, so we kind of went over that. The Wild's preseason will kick off September 24th in Colorado. And they'll be taking on Colorado twice, Dallas twice, and Chicago twice, essentially, is how that breaks down. And then the regular season will, preseason will conclude on the 7th, and their regular season will kick off on, that's not right. It'll kick off. What the heck? That's not, there's no way it's November. It'll kick off, October 12th. So there'll be a 5 days kind of break period. I'm sorry. These neutral location games they're playing against Ottawa and Toronto in November are somehow popping up at the top of it, which kind of threw me off. So I do apologize about that. But yeah, they'll be kicking off against Florida and kind of scampering around a little bit. Home opener, season opener at home, two games on the road, three game homestand, three games away, two games away. So a little bit jumbled, to start off the season, but, super, super excited that, you know, the closer we get to fall, the closer we get to, hockey season and obviously basketball season and all that kind of fun stuff. The one big thing to talk about that did happen since the last podcast is actually on about noon on July 2nd, this two Sundays ago, it was announced that the Minnesota Wild acquired three-time Cup winner Pat Maroon, that in a move that cleared cap space. The Lightning also traded to us forward Max Kalakachuk while retaining 20% of Maroon's $1 million salary. And Tampa Bay received a 24 seventh round pick in return. it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think, I gotta be honest, I think a big reason for this move was, because they didn't re-sign Ryan Reeves. And I think they're hoping getting a guy like Maroon, who's 6'3", 234 pounds. You know, he was the fourth liner on the Lightning, but I think a guy like this is a, just, and no disrespect to Ryan Reeves, because you have to, you obviously have to be somewhat skilled to be in the NHL. But I think Pat Maroon comes to the team kind of next year being the Ryan Reeves, if you will, with the enforcer type, but just a little more, how do you want to say, with just like a little more talent and a little more scoring ability, a little more offensive threat, than Ryan Reeves is known for. So it should be interesting to see how this works out. You know, like I said, he's a three-time cup winner, so hopefully he kind of, I think, and I, you know, we hope he can come and bring some of that experience and help us get out of the first round. The thing, as excited as, you know, you can be for a move like this, I'm unfortunately a little upset because he is not a center, which leads us into our next topic. Drew wanted to know, what are the top things, in your opinion, the Wild need to address this offseason? And, you know, I gotta say, great question. But, you know, the clock is ticking on the Wild here. I mean, again, you know, we're already looking at July 13th, you know, tomorrow is going to be July 14th already. And I mean, like I said, you know, if you're the NHL, preseason is getting underway. What's that? Preseason getting underway on September 22nd, which is, I mean, shit, just over two months away, which means, you know, within the next, you know, 4 to 5 weeks, training camps are starting, you know, the Bedards, the draft picks and everything like that. Like, they're already getting together. So I would say the clock is starting to tick on this team, but I think they do have a couple things, they need to address before getting into that. Number one, and I think, you know, I think a lot of people know this, but I'm going to say it because it needs to be said. But I think the number one thing is they need to look for a center upgrade. You look at who we have under cap this upcoming season, and the only true center we have on this team is Joel Eriksson Ek. You know, yes, we are bringing back Freddie Goudreau. And Freddie Goudreau, and we have, we also have Connor Dewar and Ryan Hartman, but both Dewar and Goudreau are, you know, kind of can play center and left wing, and then you got Ryan Hartman, who can, again, can play center, but who's also a right wing. So I think, you know, Freddie Goudreau is probably just as good as, you know, any, you know, center I've seen. Like, he's good on the faceoffs, he's good with being the middleman, and he's good at playing that 300-foot game. But again, that leaves you with two centers coming back. So with that, I think a lot of names, or I shouldn't say a lot, but I think a big name that a lot of people have heard of is oh gosh, what is it? It's the Winnipeg Jets guy, Mark Scheifele. You know, I think a tough thing with Mark would be he's only on a 1-year contract. So you wouldn't want to sign him and go after him unless you know he's going to want to be around for maybe another year or two. But another big, name I have heard too, and I think part of the reason he's been floating around is because I think some people think he's pretty underpaid, only making a 4.85 mil next year. But Elias Lindholm is a name that I've been hearing. But I think bottom line, this team needs to get better with centers. But then I would say a lot of people might not think it's all that important, but I think we gotta re-sign Gustafsson. I think you look at, you look at, you know, yes, we do have, oh gosh, what's his name? We do have, why am I blanking here, guys? We do have Jesper Wallstedt under contract. And that's true, but the thing with Filip Gustavsson is it's sounding like, and there's trade talks, you know, or not trade talks, there's talks that they're going to get to something, but ultimately what I think what it comes down to is length of contract, because I think what it sounds like, you know, a guy like Jesper Wallstedt, who's supposed to be the next big goalie in the NHL, still needs a couple of years, you know, to develop and not be the guy quite yet being thrust into that role. So I think if you were able to sign Gustavsson for kind of like a mid, you know, 2, 3, maybe 4 max year contract, that would probably be perfect, because then, you know, maybe depending on, you know, I know I'm pretty sure we're bringing back a Fleury next year. We got Wallstedt the next 2 seasons, it looks like. Filip Gustavsson is a RFA. So, you know, for sure next year, re-signing Gustavsson, you kind of have your guy for at least, you know, 2 more years, you know, maybe 3. So Jespers may be able to be, you know, develop in the AHL, and then maybe, you know, we let Marc-Andre Fleury walk next year, you know, and Filip Gustavsson's our next guy for the next 2 years, and Wallstedt kind of plays in the background, and depending on how he goes, depends on kind of what we do. But I'm not an expert. The biggest, and then other than those two, I would say the biggest thing and the biggest issue that I feel like isn't talked about enough, for the Wild is addressing their defense. There, we're using, I mean, you know, you take a look at, you know, some of these guys where Matthew Dumba's not coming back, John Klingberg's not coming back, you know, Goligoski doesn't seem like to be a part of plans moving forward. Kalen Addison, there's questions about his future. You know, I like, you know, Brock Faber, but it'll be interesting to see what happens. Like, if we bring up guys like Carson Lampo, are we gonna try go getting a couple guys? And then that leads into my final point on the Wild for tonight. It's the fucking salary cap. Excuse my language. I was actually talking to my uncle. Excuse me, within the last week, we actually golfed over the 4th of July. And he mentioned, you know, we just, as far as the Wild are concerned with Kirill, excuse me, because including this upcoming season, we only have him for 3 more years under contract, which is tough because the Wild are strapped. We have just under. We have 14.7 million in dead cap this year and next year with the fucking Parisian Suter contracts, which is gonna suck. We do owe them money through the 28-29 season, but after these next 2 seasons, we owe them less than $1 million. So, our you know, what's that? Our projected cap hit right now is 75 mil this upcoming season, 58 mil the 24-25 season, and then all of a sudden goes down to 38 million. So after these next 2 years, you know, we're able to go get guys. We're able to, you know, start giving serious money to guys that deserve money. But we have to find a way within these next 2 years to be competitive and try to take a step forward, because the final year of his Kirill's contract in 25-26, you really want to show him, okay, we're being serious, we're adding guys, because you want this guy staying around long term. But you got to show him that you mean business. I mean, this guy, you know, is like a Sidney Crosby, is like an Ovechkin. He wants to win Stanley Cups, and you know, it's awesome. He's saying the right things. He wants to be in Minnesota, yada yada yada, all this shit, which is great. But at the end of the day, you have to do what's best for you. And if you wanna go to a place where you feel like you're gonna win a championship and compete for a championship. So if he feels like this isn't the place, which I hope to God is not the case, we just have to prove that to him. So it'll be an interesting year. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Who knows? Maybe Marco Rossi makes huge strides. I know he's a pure center. That's somebody I kind of forget about a little bit. And I don't know. Who knows? Some of these guys that we drafted this upcoming season, I know were this draft were centers too. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But it'll be a fun year no matter what. It'll be a fun year no matter what.